Hey, this is David Kay, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, geek, geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. In this episode, joining me for this special momentous episode is Mike Booth Ninja Powers.
Hello, I am back again.
Again, yay. And joining us from the other side of the internet is
DFG on Mike. I'm always here.
I know.
It's okay.
He's like, I live here.
One of these days, I'll stop saying I'm back. Like,
you're here. I mean, you know, you're just here. You exist. You matter.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. He keeps saying that he's back, folks, like he's going to leave us again.
Hey, listen, I'm I'm as shocked as everybody else is that's listening that I'm here for the fourth time? Fourth time. I don't something even know
like
how many
that.
Times.
Yeah, something like that. No, but it's like I said last time, like I've said every time since you came back, it's been fun and honestly less stress for us having to do this show every 2 weeks instead of every single week. Because some episodes in the last 10 years, we were floundering.
Well, the last 2 years, I would say, just because, like, geek culture and news has kind of gotten very volatile.
Yes,
you could say. And so it's made it difficult to converse on some of geek culture without, you know, it's made it difficult to navigate anyway. So that and there really hasn't been all that much that I've been enthusiastic about. Over the last year or two. I mean, it's just been kind of meh. Like nothing to reinvent the wheel, nothing creative. It's kind of just, let's just keep going with the flow of how things have been going. And there's really no altering geekdom.
No. It's very much been in a stagnant place. And that's due to a lot of things, obviously. That's due to the pandemic, that's due to the strikes now with Hollywood and all of that and everything else. And yeah, and we've said it time and time before, you and I talk about this all the time, Steve, if we're not into it, we're probably most likely not gonna record. Like, if we're like, there have been plenty of times where you and I have talked over the past 15 years that we've known each other that either one of us is sick or the other one doesn't feel like it or the other one doesn't feel like they can contribute it. And it's like, okay, fine, let's skip to next week or let's skip to the next day or whatever works. And but 10 years of this show, holy crap, you guys.
Well, honestly, I can't be really counted in that holy crap part, because
Kind of the reason that pushed me into it, though.
Yeah.
But no more so than like giving Mike the name for the pull bag. I was there. I was like, you know, you and I were like, took it upon ourselves to sit down and like record and like and start this thing. But I don't even remember like when I started. Like, was I doing it regularly with you until I moved?
I
can safely say that you were, because I have listened to the first year's episodes. I've listened to the first 30 episodes of the show from way back 10 years ago, because I wrote up a whole post, 10 years of Altered Geek, where I've highlighted various episodes. And most of the ones I'm highlighting, the Batman Superman battles, the very first episode, another one, you had just moved into the house and you were getting it set up for your entertainment and the wiring. And yes, I can.
That was when you were in Burton, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, like, you know, Steve coming over and we tried it out, the video portion of it. And then I remember switching to the audio. I'm just saying, like, I, I, it, that whole thing just seems like it's weird to say, like, especially with like the time dilation of COVID, the whole thing just feels like a lifetime ago.
More than a decade ago. Yeah.
But and so it's like, man, I can't remember, like, and it's been so long since I've sat down and like regularly done something that it just makes it seem even longer since I like contributed. It probably was when I moved down here that I stopped like regularly contributing. And but I don't know, when I get in like this funk right now, like it's not really a funk, I just get in these like spurts where I completely disconnect with like everything else. And like for right now, I'm like kind of exercising a little more, and so that makes me like not want to play video games. So I haven't played any video games in like a month and a half.
Oh wow.
But like I exercised for, and this happened in 2015 too, when I was like trying to do the whole like couch to 5K thing. Like I would exercise for 30 to 45 minutes a day, and then I would want to do more productive stuff than sit on the couch, like and play a video game. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But like, I can't believe I've been a part of something for 10 years. So.
Yeah, I know you were at least on through 2015. Because you were in the 100th episode. I'm scanning the episode 153 years of the show to see if you were on that. I don't remember if you were on that episode or not. I don't think you were, because Steve has other.
I know. Oh, yeah, you were. I know I was on in the fall of 2016, and then again in the fall of like 2017. I think I kept showing up like on the anniversaries.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's cool. Yeah,
but it's funny how, in fairness, this is usually Mike reminding me that there's an anniversary of some podcast that I was on that's coming up, and do I want to take part in it?
Or do you just want to do something? Like, if it's your show, let's do something with whatever show was that, you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine how many hits that our website would get if Powers, Danner, and Reed and Shaunzi all got back together and went off the cuff again? Man, we'd have so many downloads, it isn't even funny.
I've thought about the whole off the cuff thing like here and there in the last like few years, but it just comes down to like I don't want to be the one to wrangle everyone together. Like, and that's and like I said, like I've said this before, like I wanted to do that whole like stream a video game and have someone come on and like, you know, talk with me while I play it. And I bought the software, I bought the hardware and all that stuff. And then I sat down, I got it all working. I did that trial test with Joe. Mm-hmm. And then it just became like,
I was there for those nights. You were like, wait, this is just supposed to, well, you went live. Sorry, I'm here. Yeah. Let's.
but afterwards it was just like, I don't want to deal with wrangling anyone's schedule. Like, and having to remind people that, you know, tonight's a recording night or something like that, you know, like, I don't know. And that's kind of the way that it usually always was. The main host of the shows that I was doing. So it was like, I got to remind everyone, like, is everyone still available this Wednesday? And it was like, if I can't get more than, you know, at least one other person, like,
yeah.
It was like, I don't know. And then I moved down here and I completely fell out of it because that job became all consuming. And then, yeah. But now I'm doing it again. I'm actually really enjoying it. I've been looking at potentially buying a new microphone. So.
Oh wow. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm just gonna go with another Yeti.
Okay. The newer edition of it.
Yeah, there's a version that came on. I saw it on Amazon. It was like $150, and it came with the mic and the desk stand and the pop filter. So, but right now I'm still just using the Nessie that I got in, geez, a piece, was it 2014? I think I got it. Probably. I have a blue Nessie that works well. Apparently it still works really well, so it's like, well, I get another one. But But usually I want to, usually when I get, when I start doing something, I want to buy something that shows like some type of investment in it. That way I like keep doing it.
Hey, you know what? When things, you know, I always, and if you want to do this, you're more than welcome to, you don't have to, but in 2020, I started doing, when we launched Studio 2009, I brought podcast approach, which is 30 questions about listening to and producing podcasts. So we've talked to various podcasting people that we've known over the years, and we've asked them these questions. One of the questions is, what do you do when your equipment breaks down or when it, whatever, do you buy the same stuff or do you upgrade? And most people will upgrade. For me, luckily, in 15 years, I actually tried upgrading my microphone to the exact same one I already had. I got the brand new thing home because all of the old one was missing was the USB cord. I got the whole thing home, plugged it in, everything else, got on with Steve, and Steve's like, it sounds like shit. I'm like, great. It's the same damn thing. It's the same damn whatever. I'm like, okay, give me like 10 seconds. So I took all as I did, because I have the same CAD U37. All as I did was take the new USB cord off the brand new $40-$50 microphone I bought, put it on the one I had since 2010, and this baby just doesn't wanna, you know, knock on wood.
So, did you just buy another USB cord?
No, what I did was I bought the whole mic. I figured, because I couldn't find this at the time. Karen and I were moving, or we were doing something where the stuff was packed up, and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I just went on whatever website I went on, and I bought a brand new CAD U37. It came in black instead of silver this time. And, yeah, when I hooked it up, I said, how do I sound, Steve? And I basically had the same settings that I have on this one currently. And he goes, it sounds like crap. There's some sort of whizzing in the back. There's something with them. I'm like, okay, fine. So because I had lost the cord for the old one.
Well, right, but if it's just a USB cord, like, couldn't you just buy a new USB cord?
Yeah, but I don't know. It was... It was one of the weird, I don't know, it's one of the weird, it's kind of like, you know, most iPhones, thankfully that European law is making iPhones go USB-C, but that's a whole other thing.
I mean, if there's ever a cable that you're looking for, Model Price has every single cable ever made.
Yeah. Yeah, Model Price is great.
But that website is a black hole for me, because I will go on there and be like, I need to get like an HDMI cable that's going bad. I need to get another one, and then
need one that's 3 feet longer.
Or a little bit longer, and then I end up like buying like all brand new Ethernet cables and HDMI cables for everything connected to my entertainment center, and for no reason, like it just. I go on there to buy one cable. I walk out with like 15.
I forget when it was, but it's been in the last 2 years. Because it wasn't just you that I remembered talking about the Mono Price website. I had heard it from many other people in the past, but you were the main one that I remember always hearing you talk about that website. And I'm like, at the time Karen was still alive, I said, hey, let's get a mount for the TV and blah, 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 blah. And then everything happened. She passed away. And at some point in between her passing away and me moving here to Indiana from Washington, I ended up going on Mono Price and buying a mount for the TV. And now the TV is mounted in the bedroom. So, thank you.
I mean, all my mounts are Mono Price.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Why would I pay I'll pay $15 for a mount instead of $50 to $100 with that Best Buy wants for a mount. So
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm definitely an Amazon shopper.
So. Oh boy. So what's everyone been up to? It's been a month.
3 weeks. Yeah, it's almost been a month. Yeah, a month, 3 weeks, something like that. Steve, what are you doing? Have you really finally perfected your 3D printing skills yet?
I have with the PLA plastic.
Okay.
I've begun experimenting with PETG, which is supposed to be more resistant to heat and warping. and add a little bit more flexibility so it's not as rigid. So it's kind of like a combination of mixing the PLA and the ABS, which ABS is oil-based, like a more durable plastic, which they use for most like action figures and things like that. And PLA is plant-based. So funny enough, I was reading an article on Facebook from a Star Trek 3D printing model group or whatever, and somebody threw the parts for a 3D print that they started like 3-4 years ago when they'd gotten some 3D prints with that plastic, and it was in a Ziploc bag, so there's no airflow. So what happens to the PLA plastic, unlike ABS, which is much harder to break down, PLA plastic is made to be biodegradable. So their plastic stuff had warped and there was like this goo in the bottom of the bag because the PLA started breaking down because have airflow and it didn't have, you know, just normal house conditions. Like humidity is going to, you know, set it off, or heat, or things like that. So I'm kind of playing around with the PETG, but it requires also setting the temperature hotter on the nozzle and on the print bed to adhere it. And I will say that where I had all the issues with the PLA plastic not sticking to the bed, I have the opposite problem of trying to pry the plastic off. And I say that because I've only tried printing a couple of things with it. And I think in order to print, because everything I've been printing so far has printed fine, but it's been on PLA settings. If I go to print something on this, I'm going to have to go into the software and set it up so that it auto kind of sets the temperatures for everything for when I print it. My next goal is to try and print the Enterprise G again. I printed it with the PLA plastic with the separations in it so that it would take less time to print. But I've figured out since then how to print like the entire model without having to glue a bunch of parts together. So I'm going to attempt that with this other plastic, but the nice part is the plastic is like a light gray instead of a dark gray. So I actually will be able to add the paint details I want to do the Aztec-ing to the whole plating and paint it. And I won't have to paint as much. Whereas if it's like a totally wrong color, I'll have to paint the entire thing. So anyways, I've been playing around with that. I printed a couple of successful prints, mostly badges and starships. I've printed Transformer add-ons. I printed Legacy Inferno's flamethrower this last week.
Very cool.
And that was one of the ones that I tried printing when I got the printer, and it failed miserably. I've since figured out that if it's something that has a part that hangs off in a particular location, you print it with tree supports is what it's called, and it prints these like hollow pieces that are brittle that basically are there so the printer has something to grab onto when it starts printing that layer where it's kind of an overhang, and then when you're done printing you just snap them off.
Awesome.
So yeah, but I got that IDW Megatron printed. It came out pretty well, surprisingly. Yeah, so I mean, I've been printing and doing a lot of that stuff, so I'm still kind of experimenting. I'd like to try and figure out how to 3D model at some point so I can print my own custom creations rather than swiping what somebody else has done. Mostly because I'm still working on a custom Megatron figure, but if I can do it myself, that would be great. So, but it's not running right now. I've discovered, like when I print PLA plastic, it gets really warm in the office with the door closed. when I print PETG, it gets super hot.
Ooh.
So I need to not be in the room when it's on because my computer already gets warm and that, and the door closed, there's no airflow. So it's, yeah, not very fun.
So, okay. It's never really dawned on me until you having this conversation now, but like, so the plans that you're using for the 3D printer.
Yes.
Are they like, I'm assuming they're all like that you can find them on the internet for free and then you feed them into the system and it prints it up for you.
Yep.
Okay. So it dawned on me that this has to like kill the model industry.
Oh yeah. What's funny is I was buying Star Trek badges, like the metal. Some of them were plastic, some of them were crap quality, and I've been printing the badges I don't have, like, because I've got a decent amount of them that are in diecast, but like there was a ton that I was missing. Like, I don't have various newer Star Trek badges, and I kind of collect those I always have, so I started printing those, and I just paint them. Polar Lights, which is a part of like Revel and like the model ship companies that make all the model cars and everything, they've even said that they're not making any newer Star Trek models, which is good and bad because I have one from that company that I got of the Enterprise from like Discovery, and the plastic, I feel like, I mean, unless you want to put light kits into these things, I feel like the plastic is kind of crappier than my 3D prints.
Is it weird that they don't offer, because I feel like so I don't know who makes the plans and puts them up for free, right? But I feel like an actual like model company could probably get their hands on like legit production resources and like make their own, like make or sell a better 3D print plan, like than possibly what somebody could just on the internet, like willy nilly. Like it's just weird to me to think that like, oh, if I had one, I would never have to go to a model kit store and purchase a model kit ever again. I could like you said, you were printing out the sections of the Enterprise and gluing them together. Like it's when you said that I was like, oh my god, the model kit industry is like no more, because you probably think that kind of goes like hand in hand, right? If you're into building models, you probably like the idea of being able to 3D print your stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have the, like I said, I have like the Discovery Enterprise. And don't get me wrong, like part of it's nice in the sense that like it's all there, it's all like perfectly shaped. Like, I mean, unless your printer, you know, 3D printing, it requires you to do some sanding or some smoothening out depending on how it's printed. And it depends on who models it. Like if they're not very good at 3D modeling.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like these companies,
it won't print well. But the people that know what they're doing are printing it themselves, but they're selling the kits to assemble. So like the Enterprise G, for instance, there's a I think it's called Horner Shipyards on Facebook, and the guy created his own, like he somehow got an animation model of it and recreated it, and then he hollowed out parts of it, and it's, you know, it's just through trial and error stuff, and he's got a bunch of 3D printers and made it so that you can put a light kit in it and everything else, and they sell these ships like the kits, and they sell like special, you know, water slide decals that you can put on it, and they're like the guy that created the ship for the show bought one from the guy because there was no other way to make it. Like he kind of kit bashed parts together and kind of custom molded it and kind of gave the idea to the studio. But like, as far as having a physical ship that was pretty much spot on, like he didn't have it. And so this group printed him one, and he decked it out with the paint and the decals, and it looked like it came right off the screen. And so, yeah, I feel like with people doing this now, we're going to see less of the model ships in the stores. Granted, the only time I see them is either in like Joann's, Michael's, or Hobby Lobby, or in Walmart around Christmas time.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, but it's not even like the ships either, like model cars.
Yeah,
like, I mean, all that, like just now, the entire that's industry.
If you can find them, that's the thing. Like, Star Trek is like hugely popular, and so, you know, you're gonna find a million different renditions of ships on there, some good, some bad. Like, I've tried printing an Enterprise E a couple of times, and depending on how they model it, it either works or doesn't, and I've not had good luck with that, so I just kind of stopped printing it. But the Enterprise G and some of the original ships and things like that, they come out fine. Or like Beast Wars, like I've got a stasis pod from the show, and that's because this group that makes all these Transformer add-ons or like base components or, you know, these you know, base building type stuff, accessories that, you know, like if you would have had Batman or Ninja Turtles back in the 90s or 80s, they would have had their bases or had their vehicles or things like that. So you've just got a lot of influx of fans creating a business, a side business, creating add-ons or fixes for things that companies just are too cheap to do.
Well, it's just interesting to me that, and I kind of get why they wouldn't do it. Like I said, like it's interesting to me that they don't try to like, because you said that the Enterprise E that you have, like Discovery that you have was like chintzy, like the plastic was like chintzy.
Oh yeah.
So it's just interesting to me that the actual companies themselves, and like I said, I get why they do, and I'll get there. I get why they don't do this, and I'll get there in a second. But it's interesting to me that they didn't try to like, okay, so they're not going to come into a store and buy our boxed model pieces, but okay, so let's like sell online the digital file to be able to 3D print one your own, and then you can choose whatever plastic you want to print it out of. You can make it as good as you or as bad as you want it to be, you know. But like, it at least comes from a company that has the resources to adequately make the plan. But then again that answers its same self, because it's the same thing that's happened with movies and music. The second one person buys that blueprint for, you know, like whatever they want to charge for it, we'll just say like $5 just for fun, that's probably the last $5 they'll see of it, because that guy will just throw that blueprint up on a website for everyone to go and grab, you know. So it's like, You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. It's just interesting to me that we now have the ability, and I never even thought about it, but we now have the ability to literally print model kits in our home like you would get a book on a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't like a big like Ertl, ATM, Revel. They're not selling the plans for that, because obviously they can't. But I mean, but then again, if you think about it, if you can find a way to freaking make a Kindle work, like Amazon still sells books despite the fact that, you know, you can go online and torrent whatever book you want, people still buy them. So there's always a market for people that's going to pirate it no matter what, and then there's a market for people that will pay for it for ease of convenience.
So since you mentioned books, it's funny you're talking about this. And I know we're talking about 3D printing, and I'm not trying to distract from that, but I'm trying to get Steve some information, because I believe October 3rd, Patrick Stewart's memoir, Making It So, will be released. The audiobook version is 16 hours.
I don't know if I'd want to listen to him for 16 hours, though.
Oh, he has a good enough voice, and you don't like.
It's not even the voice; it's the fact that the dude like single-handedly tanked Picard until his cohorts from TNG came back. Like, I don't know if I care to hear his worldview.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean,
it's Star Trek.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Either way, but yeah, it's interesting to see what is kind of going on in geek culture now with, you know, fans are like, oh, the company's too cheap to make it. We'll do it ourselves.
Yep.
Well, just because we jumped on that train for a second, and did you say that Picard or the Patrick Stewart book comes out in October?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's another book that's coming out that I don't think a lot of people know about, but it's from it's a new book from Bill Watterson.
Hmm.
The guy that did Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, okay.
So that comes out in August. I pre-ordered it forever ago, and I can't seem to find it to be able to tell anybody what the name of it is, but all I saw was Bill Watterson, and I was like, click. Because I am a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan, so. But. So what have you been up to, Mike?
Same stuff, different day.
Oh.
He freaked me out this morning. That was fun.
Wait a minute. You were freaked out. I know nothing about this stuff. That's why I asked you the question. So, all right, let's go with this then. So this morning I get up and I open Chrome, and I usually have the same anywhere from 11 to 16 tabs open, but I, you know, usually close the thing down every night after, you know, whatever, after I'm done. So I open it up and I've got like the last 7 various pages on geekcastradio.com open. And every single one of them is giving me an error message saying, please try again later. This site can't be reached. Blah, 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 blah. So I took a screenshot. And keep in mind, you and I both, Mike, are in the Eastern time zone. So this is 5, 6:30, 7:30 in the morning, which Steve is 2 hours behind us. So,
I was awake. I was out. I was,
well, yeah, yeah,
I was attempting to work out, and Mary was like, stop messing with it.
So I just said something like, hey, is WordPress doing maintenance? Is something, what's going on here? And you're like, I don't know. Like, oh, okay. Hear back, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later. Oh, it's something with this, this, or this, and let me know if it changes. I'm like, okay, like, what was it, like an hour and a half or so later?
Something like that.
Fixed itself, or the site service, or whatever it was, whatever the hell it is. But yeah, I was like, well, crap, I guess I'm not doing any podcast stuff today other than editing, because if we can't reach the website, then we can't do anything in the back end. Freaked you out. Wasn't trying to freak you out.
Well, then I was trying to figure it out, and then it dawned on me that it was the entire account. Like, because to begin with, I thought it was just the website.
Yeah, it wasn't just our account, Steve's account.
I have multiple websites hosted on the same account, so I wasn't sure if it was across the board or if it was one so I had no idea. And then I was attempting to do a backup restore, and I'm like, man, I hope the database isn't, you know, royally screwed. And and then I managed to calm down enough to think about it, and I was like, oh, I should probably check and seeing if they're having an outage. And they were.
But that's like the first, like, I've seen error messages on our website before, but that's the first time I saw that one. And I'm like, question. So that happened. Let's see what else. I've been making more podcast guest appearances on other people's shows that I don't have to work on. Like, I just show. It's kind of like Mike over there. He just shows up and he talks, which is great. Fine. I don't mind doing all the work. That's fine by me. Makes no difference. But yeah, I was on.
You don't sound bitter about it at all.
No, who? I'm not. Me.
Oh.
No, I'm not. But again, I have no life. I sit here 19 and a half hours out of the day working on some form of podcasting, whether it's writing descriptions or editing or whatever. So that's just what I do. I'm not bitter at all about it. which is funny because I was going to offer to you, and I can't believe I'm doing this on air, if you want to get the band back together, just tell me what day and what time, and I'll remind everybody. I'll be the taskmaster that gets everybody back together.
No. If I'm not willing to put in the work, I'm not going to ask anybody else to put in the work. So.
So yeah, I've been making more appearances on other people's shows. I've been on Steve's brother, Captain Ruggles Gaming, Kevin. He does his own streaming on YouTube, but he also works with Kai Dragon Media. So Steve and I have been on that a couple of times. I've been on a couple of times without Steve. I was on the Mike Seibert radio podcast, and we talked about the existential dread of TFG on Mike. So that's 3.5 hours that no one will listen to. He smirks, but if I sit there and tell him, hey, I went and did this podcast, the first question, how long is it? If I say anything under 1.5 hours, he'll tune out. Or anything over 1.5 hours, he'll tune out. But yeah, so I've been doing that and just kind of gearing up for some anniversaries. This December is 15 years since I started. We've got this 10-year anniversary for Altered Geek. Steve and I have got Steve's got 15 years of all things Transformers this month. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing.
Are you looking for a weekly dose of gaming news and retro? And check out Off the Cuff, available Fridays on Geekcast Radio Network from the producers of XRG. New name, same.
All right. Well, let's see. What have I been doing?
Yeah, what have you been doing the last 3 weeks?
Well, I'm counting down the days until I can order a new phone. Because it's getting to be that time of year.
What are you going with? You going with the Pro or the Pro Max?
I have a Pro Max right now, and it is way too big and way too heavy. I got the Pro Max because I had just a regular Pro, and I was kind of like, I kind of want to try just something different, and I'm reading a lot of stuff. I was using Tweetbot and Facebook, and I thought, you know, just having like a bigger screen would be a lot nicer just to be able to see more like at one time. And that was fine, and it was going well right up until, you know, December 31st when I decided to stop using social media.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I'm carrying around this giant heavy
candy bar.
And I'm not looking at it anymore. I'm using it to play music or to play a podcast. I'm not reading on it anymore. So I was like, oh, well, it's taken like every ounce of me to not find a way to just get a regular 14 Pro.
Mm.
But I was like, I'm just going to wait. And hopefully like all the rumors like pan out this year with it being made out of titanium. So that will make it a lot lighter because it's made out of stainless steel right now, which makes it really heavy. I'm not even kidding. The weight discrepancy between my phone and my wife's phone, you might as well not even be holding anything when you grab my wife's phone. Like it blows me away. So
it's like a piece of paper. Somebody threw a piece of paper on top of me. That's how thin it is. That's how light it is.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't gained any muscle mass from lugging this phone around. I don't know. So yeah, I'm just going back to the regular 14 Pro or the 15 Pro, and so I'm looking forward to that. And I talked to my wife about it. I'm gonna end up getting a new watch too. So
cool.
So just counting down the days to that event because I love watching those events. And just recently, I went back and I watched all of the events that Steve Jobs was able to do before he passed away. And I've always said this about him. That dude was a hell of a salesman.
He was, like, yes.
There is a huge difference between the conferences that he would put on and the conferences that Apple puts on now. And it just made me like, I don't do the whole like, I have a role model or I look up to this person or anything like that. But if someone like gunned to my head, someone told me to like pick someone like, and I know I've read the autobiographies, and I know the dude in his personal life and whatnot was an a-hole, but I can't, like, if I had a gun in my head, I'd pick Steve Jobs. Like, I like the fact that when he set out to try to do something, he surrounded himself with the people that would get it done and didn't tolerate the people that didn't want to do, or, you know, I just liked everything about, like, his, the, at least his public forward persona. I really like that. Plus, I totally dig all the stuff that he did for Pixar and just in general. And like I said, he was a hell of a salesperson. Like, there was only one Apple item that he, like, failed to, like, sell me on, and it was like the iPod boombox thing that they had.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it was called. I just remember it was like this giant white. It was literally like a giant white Apple boombox that you'd think somebody would be carrying on their shoulder in the 80s.
It wasn't the iPod. It wasn't the speaker dock for the old iPod touches, right? It was
no. This was for the original iPod. Like, it was this giant white, and the speakers didn't fire out the front. They fired out the side. And there was a dock on the top of it to, like, stick an iPod on, and it just protruded out the top. And it was like, that, I'm sorry, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So, but anyway, so I'm just excited for, I like watching the events, even though they're not as good as they were, but, and I automatically know I'm going to buy a new phone every year. My wife always do the thing where it's like, oh, this is gonna be my last one. And my wife always looks at me like, okay, we both know that's a lie. You don't have to keep saying that.
Yeah, it's okay. So, we understand. Was it the iPod Hi-Fi?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this thing is ugly as hell. I'm going to post this here in the chat so you guys can, I mean, Mike, you know what it looks like, but in case you don't know.
The one thing I will say, though, it's like, yep, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve sold an experience.
Yes, and he did.
And Apple sells a product now.
Yep.
Like, he never got up on stage. He never talked about, like, he talked about what it was like to use the device. He didn't tell you. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but you guys, I think
the way that Steve Jobs made the presentation was that he made it feel like the products that Apple was making from the point of the time that he introduced the iPhone was that this is a product for your lifestyle. Apple, since his passing, has not necessarily lost the lifestyle stuff, but Tim Cook is no Steve Jobs. Tim Cook is Tim Cook. He is whatever he is. Honestly, ever since Steve passed, I've been watching YouTube reviewers and tech YouTubers, and those people give me, like, yeah, I still kind of check out the, for any company, not just Apple, I still kind of check out the keynotes and things like that, or the, you know, Galaxy Unpacks or Google IOs or whatever they're, you know, whatever they call their stuff. I still check it out, but I would rather hear from, like, somebody like Marques Brownlee or Mr. Who's the Boss or Mr. Mobile Michael Fisher. Like, I would rather hear from various people that I've been watching for the last 2 or 3 years talk about these products than try to have the companies sell me on them.
Yeah, I get that. I think for me, it's just a force of habit.
Absolutely. You are absolutely correct. Yes, it is a force of habit. But I'm just saying, since, like, Steve was the ultimate
salesperson.
He was, but he wasn't, like, he was selling you on, like you were saying earlier.
He was selling the experience.
Yeah, though. He was selling the experience, not necessarily, hey, buy this iPod, like, whatever, because
it's new.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to sound kind of dumb, but I've watched this keynote, but it goes all the way back to when he first introduced the first iBook, like, in, I think it was like 2001 or something like that. And it was like when they had that, it looked like a toilet bowl lid, but it was like Yeah. It had way more plastic than it needed, but it had like all the, you could get like orange and blue and green and all that. So it looked like an iMac, but like a notebook, right? But mm-hmm. It was like when Wi-Fi was like first taking off that he got up on stage with a hula hoop and was like, look, it's all wireless. Like nobody else, like, yeah, it's okay. That's pure showmanship, but like nobody else has sold Wi-Fi that way. You know what I'm saying? Like everyone's just like, oh, it's wireless. It just talks to something somewhere. Like Steve actually just got up there. It's a very funny video to watch. Like in retrospect, when you think like, you know, like why would you do that now? No one would do that now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, because nobody is selling you the lifestyle of the product. They're selling you the product now because they want the money.
Yeah,
and Steve was that. About the money probably in like the back end of it kind of thing. But when he was on that stage, he was the showman. You know, and like you said, everything he did for Pixar and all that, and just. Great, great dude.
But, and then let's see. So I'm counting down those days. And then I actually did end up seeing two movies. The first one, I actually went and saw the Barbie movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. But I knew it was going to be fantastic because I saw that it was ticking off all the right people on the internet.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it, and my wife loved it too. So, cool. Got to see that. I am bummed that I can't pre-order it yet for some reason.
What are you pre-ordering it on, or what do you want to pre-order it on?
Well, I'm trying to pre-order the 4K Blu-ray, and It's not up anywhere. Well, no, sorry. Let me rephrase that because I hear someone probably trying to go and search for it right now. Best Buy does have a presale for the 4K disc, but not a steelbook. And
oh, you want the best? Yeah.
Yeah, I try to only buy my my books now if they come with a steelbook. That's usually how I. Yeah, if I can't get the steelbook version of it, I probably won't get a physical version of it. Because you know, I've got solar panels on my house and I've got a tankless hot water heater, so I'm all about being eco-friendly, but man, I love wasting steel and nothing. So
I remember the old days of going to Best Buy. This was it Transformers or was it Revenge of the Fallen? One of the first two live action films for Transformers had a Best Buy steelbook edition, and for their exclusive, because that's what Best Buy always has for their exclusive half the time. And I went and I got it, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. This is the only way to own physical media. Wow, media. What the fuck was that? God, I can't talk tonight.
Well, sidebar to the conversation, because you say it's the only way to own physical media, right? Did you see the story about the Disney selling the WandaVision?
No, I probably heard about it in passing, but go ahead and tell me the story.
So Disney is going to sell you so that you can own WandaVision, just in case they ever take it off of Disney Plus. They put up for pre-order the ability to pre-order WandaVision, and it comes with a steelbook. But guess what? It comes with a digital copy code. No disc. No disc. It is a steelbook for digital code.
Oh my God. That's. Wait. Okay. So I had to Google this, and inside the magic is Disney's website, and the article says Disney will no longer be selling physical Marvel DVDs. Are you kidding me? I don't even need to read the rest of the article. I can just read the title there, and I'm just like, okay. So, let's hope they never remove the stuff from Disney Plus.
Also, well, I mean, it's just a matter of time, right?
True. So, yeah.
But going back to what we were to going to Best Buy to buy stuff, though, I remember I wanted the steelbook for Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, and I had pre-ordered the version that I wanted, but I wasn't getting any type of notification that it had shipped. Except it had come out, and I saw that they still had my order. So I was like, oh, I'll just go to my local Best Buy, and I'll see if they have it, and I'll pick it up. And I hadn't been in the Best Buy store in a while, But they didn't even have a movie section anymore. It was, it was, but what was weird is they had signs up that said own Wakanda Forever on 4K Blu-ray, but they had no movie section. They had video games. Like, you could still go in there and buy game consoles, controllers, video games, like on the, you know, a box copy of a video game, but no movies. I was like, oh, well, dang.
Yeah, dang.
So
it just, I don't know. I live on the edge of, I have some physical media still, but I haven't had a DVD, TV shows on DVD or film, animation, whatever, DVD collection or Blu-ray or whatever since 2011. I've got several Blu-rays now because I have I do have a 4K.
Side note, did we lose Steve?
Yes, it's okay. It's fine. We're just going to keep going. He'll be back. His computer... Steve needs to go to Apple and get a Mac because apparently Windows does this every time. If he said he's probably going to edit all this out, but if I disappear, just keep going and I'll rejoin. My computer is frizzing out and he's trying to salvage it. So
the iPod Hi-Fi picture killed his computer. Well, now you can't edit this out.
You bastard. Well, it is 10 years of Altered Geek. If we weren't unplugged, we would be unlimited. So, but yeah, no, like I remember from 2007 to 2012, I remember going to Best Buy every single time. And this is going to tie into one of our other conversations, but I'm just going to use this as an example now since I mentioned those years. I remember being at Best Buy and buying Superman Doomsday, Justice League The New Frontier, Batman Gotham Knight. One, like the last one I physically bought was Justice League Doom? Yes, because I did not buy Superman versus the Elite, and I have not even seen Dark Knight. Yeah, so we'll talk about that later once Steve gets back. If he comes back, here's hoping 10 years of his own show didn't screw him over, which I don't think it did. I think it's his, like we said, it's his computer.
Actually Windows. Windows decides that when I'm podcasting is the best time to crash because it wants to install a Windows update.
Yeah. I have Windows Update install stuff between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. when I'm not using the computer.
Yeah, I try to do that, but mine's turned off.
Oh, jeez.
I don't understand how they have an update literally every time I turn on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All right, so we were talking about Blockbuster. Wow.
Disney Plus. Right, okay,
you just went way back. We were talking about Best Buy. Steve dropped out. You heard about the WandaVision thing, right, Steve?
Yes, I did. And okay. I think that's so stupid.
I was half tempted when I saw that it was going up for pre-order, too. I was half tempted, like, oh, I'm going to grab that. And then I read it further, and it's like digital copy, and I'm like,
That's an instant deterrent for me. I'm like, I will not buy a digital copy. If they're going to give me, like, for instance, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, season 1 and 2, both great. Picard season 3, great. I would be more than happy to own those on disc.
Did you hear that Paramount Plus removed seasons 1 and 2 or season 1 of Prodigy?
They removed season 1 of Prodigy and they finished production on season 2, but they need to find a new home for it, which is kind of dumb because they're still touting themselves as the home of Star Trek.
Yeah.
When they own Star Trek, why would you pull Star Trek?
I know, right?
Like, they literally pulled, over the last 2 years, they've pulled every Star Trek show and film off of Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime so that it can be on its home on Paramount Plus, only to take it away anyway.
Yeah.
See, I think they found out that doesn't really work as well as they thought it would, and not necessarily just because it's Star Trek, but Warner Brothers was doing the same thing, right? They tried to pull all of their stuff under their umbrella, but now this new CEO knows that there's more money in like selling that to another streamer than there is just
the
letting it. Well, it's like It's like Star Trek 2009 and Into Darkness from J.J. Abrams. Both of those are on Netflix right now. And Beyond is on there kind of infrequently, but it gets on there occasionally. But either way, I'm more than happy to use one of those other avenues to watch the show. But because I have to subscribe to another one. And it's their service is, I think, kind of subpar. So I don't care to have it. But
wait a sec. So you mentioned Star Trek Beyond is kind of sort of infrequently on Netflix.
Yeah.
Remember that app you told me about years ago? My Movie, M-A-I Movie.
Yeah, I remember that. I just totally forgot.
I've been using it ever since. Yep.
Really? Well, that's good to know. I need to use that. Ever
since you told me. I will, yeah. So it's, yeah, it's.
I used it for a short time. It was a website I found.
It's spelled M-A-I Movie.
Yeah, I remember that now.
My Movie. And I've been using it ever since Steve told me about it. So I've got Star Trek Beyond pulled up on it. It's available on Freevee Amazon channel and Pluto TV. It's not available on Netflix currently for free streaming, but you can buy or rent it from various like Vudu or Apple.
So when
this
it
is like another app that I use.
Yeah, it's okay. AI powered movie and TV show search. I mean, I still use. Another one that you let me know about years ago.
Just Watch?
No, it's Show RSS. Just Watch.
Oh. Okay.
I still use that.
Oh, is the My Movie thing to torrent stuff?
No. This is just to find where it's at, like where your stuff's at. Okay, My Movie was nice because
it had links automatically in, like if you wanted to go buy Star Trek Beyond on Apple iTunes or Apple Movies or whatever, it has a link to every service that you can purchase Star Trek Beyond on, where instead of having to go to every single website, that's what My Movie is great for. It has it all in one place.
The app I use does the same thing. It's called Just Watch. But it's nice too because you can maybe the other one does this too, but you can filter it down to just the services that you own.
I don't know if My Movie can do. I haven't looked into that.
I think you can, but I don't know 100%.
It also does it aggregate like the new stuff, like when they post new stuff and show it to you.
I only ever use it for search, but I can.
Well, it also curates based on your watching habits.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm opening it up right now and
totally forgot about it because I used it for a time, and that's usually how things go. I watch something for a time or use an app or something, and then I kind of just forget about it.
See, I've got whatever account I have on here. Basically if I search for I'll search for Batman Versus. And it'll pull up Batman versus Two-Face, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It'll pull up Batman whatever. But, like, whatever I heart on this thing, it will add to my likes or whatever. And it should build from there. But I don't do it enough. I don't heart enough stuff on My Movie because I'm just using it for the searching and the potential linking of wherever I can go to get whatever movie or TV show it is that I want to purchase.
Gotcha.
So, but as of Steve told me about that years ago, and I've had it on my when I've had smartphones, I've had it on my phones ever since.
So I saw the Barbie movie. I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet. I really want to see Oppenheimer, but the wife didn't want to go like opening weekend when it was out there. And so now it's only on the IMAX screen at my local theater, and that IMAX blows. So I'm definitely going to be waiting to watch that one at home, which, just like the Barbie movie, for some reason, I still can't pre-order that movie either.
Mm.
I was looking on Amazon and they have a listing for it, but since you want your Steelbook, there is no actual like pre-order button on Amazon for it for Barbie. I don't think there would be one for Oppenheimer either, but I'll
check. And then this past weekend, we went to a different theater and we saw the new Turtles movie.
How was that?
It was fun. Again, we went to a different theater. I think I have to wait until for Final Judgment to watch it at home. But I did enjoy the movie, and even my wife enjoyed the movie too. So, and the other reason I say I have to wait till like I enjoyed it at home is because I think something was not right with the theater that we went to. But it, again, this was my first time being there, but I don't think the audio was quite right the entire time. So we'll wait and see how it, you know, what it sounds like when I get it home. But the funny part of that story is I pre-ordered that movie as soon as we walked out of the theater.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Got my Steelbook for that. Yeah. And the better thing about all these pre-orders things that I do, I pre-ordered Across the Spider-Verse before I went and saw the movie.
Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever. You don't want me to pre-order it. That's fine. I mean, I'll just keep checking back. That's the most annoying thing about it. Like, as soon as I can pre-order it, I'll forget about it and it will just arrive. Yep. But
that's what I did with Super Mario Brothers. As soon as the pre-order was up on Vudu, I was like, yep, that's where I want.
Well, see, and like, there's movies that we want to watch. Like, I have Transformers pre-order, but that's not coming until October. But it's on Paramount Plus. But even Paramount. My wife said, I don't want to watch it on Paramount Plus. She's like, well,
I don't
wait.
Like Paramount Plus.
Well, I mean, we just have issues with the audio not being like it's. And that goes for any streaming service that we use. Like, because we watched like The Batman and we watched Matrix Resurrection when those came out like day and date when Warner Brothers like first started up HBO Max. And we're like, those movies were okay. I mean, we liked Batman. We knew that we liked The Batman. That was fine. But it was just kind of like, man, I don't think neither one of those movies like hits like real hard like you thought it would. And then I got the discs for both of them, and The Matrix was like watching a completely different movie. Mm. She watched it again with me. Like those are the nice things, that she was willing to watch it again with me on disc, and we both looked at each other. It was like that played completely differently, like than it did watching it streaming. So the fact that my wife can notice something like that, now we just kind of go, yeah, it's available to watch, but we'll just wait.
We'll just wait. Yeah.
So. And we did see Guardians. Finally got my Guardians disc that came last week. So finally got to see Guardians 3, which was, I mean, people have said it's the best movie since Endgame, but I don't really think that's setting the bar that high.
No, because Endgame ended it was this ending of the universe kind of thing. And this is a whole other.
The Guardians movies too. They have never really had, for some reason, and I don't know what James Gunn had over Kevin Feige, but for some reason, the Guardians movies have always existed like outside of the MCU.
Yeah.
Like the first one, Thanos is there. There's an Infinity Stone, but it's still not, it still really has nothing to do with like the larger picture, right? And then the second one has absolutely nothing to do with the larger picture, which I really hated at the time, because they're sitting there releasing these movies, just churning their wheels until you can get to Infinity War and Endgame, and so nothing happens and nothing meaningful and happens in Volume 2.
Right.
And then you get to Volume 3 and it's, again, it doesn't exist in the same, like it exists so far outside the MCU that the Guardians movies are literally the only trilogy in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like it was very weird. It was very dark. It's a lot darker than the first two. It's probably, and the villain was way scarier than Thanos ever was. So my wife had a hard time watching it. So
interesting.
Got through that. Barbie's Turtles. The Turtles was really good. The animation was great. I really went to only see it because of the animation. I like this new wave of like not computer animation, but computer animation. Like we're going out of our way to not make it look like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that like just like shocks me about like movies right now. Like Disney, forgive me if we've talked about this before, but I don't feel like Disney and Warner Brothers can make a movie for less than like $200 or $300 million. Like, and then you've got people like Into the Spider or Across the Spider-Verse was $100 million, and Oppenheimer was made for $100 million. Barbie was made for 150, and the new Turtles movie was made for 70.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you've got Pixar dropping $200 million on whatever their that last movie was, Elemental.
Yep.
And you've got like no wonder why your stuff is failing. Your budgets are out of freaking control.
Yeah.
Like
I do miss the days of where a film budget was say anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000. Kind of like the old days.
Whoa, man.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
What decade are you talking about?
70s, 80s, something like that. But like when budgets were low, but the box offices were ended up being really high. Now the budgets are so high, and some of these movies, like you're saying, just kind of sit.
Yeah, it just blows my mind, like with how. Like how mismanaged it all is. Cause like I'm sorry, but I know, I guess it's because Christopher Nolan's known for making like blockbusters. Like he made the three Batman movies, like, but they weren't even, I don't think he spent $200-300 million on his Batman movies. And but maybe it's cause like this is blockbuster like thing with Christopher Nolan. I thought Oppenheimer was going to be more than $100 million. Like, And that's just from like seeing a trailer, and it's still just a period piece. Like there's not a whole lot that you could do with, you know, it's not a superhero flick or anything like that. But I still thought at least when he spends $100 million on a movie, it's all on the screen. Like you're a superhero movie. You're spending $200 to $300 million and you're doing it in front of a blue screen. You're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Like.
Just because it was the last thing you said when I started typing, Dark Knight in 2008 had a $185 million budget. It made $1.6 billion in 2008.
And that was the follow-up. But how much was the first? How much was Batman Begins? Like that? Like, and still 185? That's not bad. Like,
no, that's not bad at all.
Like that's. I don't know. These studios are out of control with their money. Like I would love to see, and I know like Snyder's guilty of it too. Like all of them are, but it's just because you know that the first Thor and Captain America weren't made for $200 million. I don't even think they were made for $100 million. Like
so, Batman Begins had a budget of $150 million. The box office was $373.7 million for Batman Begins.
Wow.
Let me see here. Cap. First Avenger was. Come on. 140 to 216.7 million for the budget. It made 370.6 million.
I think everything over that 140 is the marketing budget. So
probably, but, most likely, yes, you are correct.
It, you know, it's funny, that movie would be considered a flop now.
Mm-hmm. Look at Rise of the Beasts, first Transformers live action film that did not break $1 billion at the box office.
But I also don't think it. Had like a huge budget, right? Like it
195 to 200 million.
Yeah, that's and that's still fine. Like it's not like I don't know. It's just they're out of control.
They don't know how to spend money.
So I guess we can use this to transition to the thing that I wanted to talk about.
Sure, DC animated, yay!
So I knew about the Flashpoint Paradox. Mm-hmm. Like my buddy told me about it, and I watched it, you know, when it was out in 2013, and I watched War, Justice League War, and I watched Throne of Atlantis, and I liked all those, and I kind of thought like that was it. And then, you know, I saw like other movies come out like here and there. And I know I shared that list with you guys about what I wanted to talk about, but I didn't know that they were like it was all connected like that. Like I didn't like basically what I found out this past weekend when I revisited Flashpoint. And then I was like, I just want to see what the continuity here is. And I found this article. And I did, again, I was kind of aware of it, but didn't. It was like there in the back of my mind. But from 2013 to 2020, they released 16 movies that were in continuity with each other.
Yep.
And it's just like, and I think Steve and I have been saying this from the beginning of this freaking podcast, which is the animated stuff. Like, why aren't you not just ripping off and basically reshooting live action versions of your animated stuff? Like, do the Disney thing.
Like, we don't have any ideas. Let's do the animation again.
But Disney is, you know, Disney's going through their animation catalog to keep their trademarks, and they're making live action versions of this stuff. Like, they should literally just take their animated movies and make live action versions of them. I don't get it. So I've gone through, I've now seen all of these on this list, but It was astonishing to me that it just kind of went by the wayside. Like, I didn't really hear the internet talking about it much at all, that these things were all like that connected. Like, it was just, it's all been the live action stuff has been crappy. Therefore, DC doesn't know what it's doing. Well, some part of DC does.
Yeah, DC knows what they're doing. They just don't know what they're doing in live action because they can't find a good enough foothold to keep something going kind of thing.
I think because there's too many people at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That but, are interfering with the live action because they think it needs to be this huge blockbuster when the animation people, I feel like, are left alone.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel like no one's like talking to them. Like, no one's looking at them. They're just over there making this like quality stuff, but nobody's like paying attention to it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't get it.
Originally, when the DC original animated movies began. They began as standalone, separate things because in 2007 we were a year removed from the DC animated universe, the Bruce Timm universe, ending with Justice League Unlimited in 2006. So they started with standalones. And then we get to a point, like you mentioned, with Justice League, the Flashpoint Paradox, that starts a whole new continuity within the animated realm, and it goes, and I've seen several of these, I just haven't seen all of them. And it goes from Justice League Flashpoint Paradox and ends with Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. And yeah, like, so cool. But I have always loved the DC animated stuff because they are adapting comics into animation, which is a better way of adapting the comics than it is to put it in. Like, yes, they had to do Dark Knight Returns in two parts, but that's because that story is so damn huge, kind of thing. Yes, they had to do, what was another one they had to do in two parts? There was something else.
Long Halloween.
Yes. Yep. Long Halloween. But that's because that is so huge. But, like, doing the Killing Joke in the way that they did was really cool. Again, standalone kind of thing. But the DCAMU is the main overall continuity for the movies that we're talking about. And they've started some other continuities, and they're also going to be doing more standalone stuff, which is really, really cool. I just need to end up watching all the stuff. I just haven't. And I think the reason why I have not watched a lot of the DC stuff, specifically the Batman stuff, is because Kevin Conroy passed away. because that was my, and I'm not saying I won't watch these, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to say that or whatever else, but I'm saying because of his passing, I'm just like, okay, I need to step away from Batman for a bit kind of thing. So,
well, yeah, I just wanted to touch on this because it's just, it just blew my mind. Like, cause it, from the beginning of like the Zack Snyder stuff, like I wanted, like, it just everyone that he cast, like, it made me like I wanted to see like Flashpoint Paradox,
right?
Like with everything, with everyone that he casts in all of his movies, and basically it's just Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I just wanted to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne in the Flashpoint Paradox. Like, you can't. I don't care if you like those movies or not. If you know the history, there's no way you did not want to see that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And now we don't get to, like,
yeah.
I just, it makes me so mad.
See, I don't even like, this is why I'm going to have to bring the season of superheroes back on Tooncast, because I'm looking at the cast of the animated Justice League Flashpoint Paradox. I don't. Other than obviously Kevin Conroy, I don't and maybe Michael B. Jordan as Cyborg, I don't remember. I don't remember Steve Bloom doing a Lex Luthor at all, but he's here.
Yeah,
good.
But so that's the other thing too. Like lately, like I can talk endlessly about the DC stuff, like the Marvel stuff. I cannot care anymore. My wife and I, we waited until Secret Invasion was done, and we're like, okay, we'll watch it. We watched the first episode, and we're like, okay, we'll wait for the rest of it to be done, and we'll guess what, that series is over. But The Witcher, the final thing for The Witcher came out on Netflix at the end of July, so we decided we like The Witcher. We know we like The Witcher, so let's watch that. And we just finished watching that, and we're out to dinner tonight, and I'm like, hey, do you wanna start Secret Invasion? You know, just to get it over with. it wasn't even like being excited for it. It was just like, do you want to just watch this so we know what's going on? Like, so we're not just like when we go to see like whatever the next movie is or watch the next one, we still have an idea of what's happening. Like, it wasn't even like, we're excited to watch this. And I haven't really, I know like it's being raked over the coals and stuff like that, but I can usually take more away from these things than like the general audience does, but I'm right. Just like, I don't know. It's just, I find it so hard to like care. I'm mildly excited for the Marvels in November, but like, again, we just keep talking about this like every episode. Like, I just, I don't care, which is why, like, I've always liked the DC stuff. I like what Zach was putting down. I've always said that on this show. I know, I know, like in the beginning, the first episode Steve and I ever did, we did the whole like coming to terms with Ben Affleck being cast as Batman.
I remember that.
Like live, like in the.
Yep.
Like,
because we didn't know what to expect.
Throughout the entire record, it was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. And then by the end of it, it was like, oh, okay, sure, that might be able, you know, it's, but like, I. Maybe it's just, or also maybe because it's Altered Geek. Like, I like being able to talk about the DC stuff. But I was like, and ever since like watching the Justice League stuff and Justice League Unlimited, that's the one thing that made me the most excited for Zack Snyder being cast as brought on as the director of like Man of Steel, is because I like the way that Superman is portrayed in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. And I always thought that the one director that I thought could bring me that Superman or showed me like in live action what is in those shows was Zack Snyder. And to his credit, I feel like he gave me that. And so I'm always more excited about what DC's doing next. And you can't fault him for his casting choices because they're all still using them. I mean, like, I don't know. And then like I said, I revisit the Flashpoint Paradox. I watch that movie every couple of years, and then I go down the rabbit hole of like watching War and then Throne of Atlantis. But this was the first time I looked up like a chronological thing, because HBO, or I'm sorry, Max has all of these movies on there. There are a lot of these, but are they all like connected? And sure enough, they are. And I was like, I started watching them in order. I was like, wow, this actually flows like really well. They're referencing something that happened in that other movie, and I'm not completely lost. Like, it doesn't. I don't.
Marvel has never had a connected. They've had animated universes over the last 30, 40 years, but they've never really had a one. Like, they didn't start out with Batman the Animated Series, go all the way through to Justice League Unlimited. That covers Superman. That covers. What else is there?
Oh, gosh.
No, Batman Beyond, Zeta Project, all this stuff. You know, the new Batman, Superman Adventures, all that, you know, Marvel has never really had that. And then the live action film universe started. And I just love the Marvel in their animated stuff has never tried to do a full, like, there are plenty of animated Marvel movies out there for various characters in the Marvel universe, but none of them have ever done what Bruce Timm, Eric Radomski, Paul Dini, all those people back in the DCAU days, and now everybody that's working on the DC animated stuff for Warner. Marvel's never done that in animation.
But, like, whoever is in charge over the overall animation department and deciding what – there's got to be some guy there.
I think I haven't James read, Tucker the, is still the president of Warner Brothers Animation. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Well, but whoever is overseeing the continuity thing for those animated movies, like, why is no one having a conversation with him? like Kevin Feige, like, started as the guy that got Sam Raimi coffee in, like, Spider-Man. Like, you have a guy, there's someone in your animation division that knows how to tell a connected story. And their potential is wasted over there. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying those movies are bad. They're great. But, like, you want something that's going to, like, get people in the seats and, like, follow a story. Like, you've got it. The guy's, like, the person is sitting somewhere in your animation dungeons not getting paid what he deserves.
Like, yep.
Come on. Do something.
Steve?
Oh, man.
No, I mean, I agree with him.
Hmm?
So,
give Bruce Timm the keys.
Yeah, I always wondered what happened to, what was that thing that they were going to do? It was before Kevin passed. It was
going to be the early years of Batman.
Yeah. What was it called? Batman. Cape Crusader or something.
Yeah. Isn't that still happening?
I think it is now.
It is with a different Batman. They were going to have Kevin Conroy do it.
And it's not going to Max either. It's going somewhere else.
Yeah, it's going somewhere else.
Yeah, they're
going
to shop it around.
Yeah. What else, guys?
I don't know. It's interesting that this podcast has been around as long as it has.
And it's been around for 10 years and we keep talking about the same crap for 10 years.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's a show about what we find interesting in geek culture, and for some reason it ends up being
DC and
mm-hmm.
our toys and Star Trek and
yep.
So
video games, which the last one of that I've played was the Star Trek Resurgence, which was surprisingly good. I actually need to boot that up again and see if I know they released like a pretty hefty patch based on feedback. Probably one of the best Star Trek games that have been out in quite some time.
Yeah. As far as I can tell in my research here, Warner Brothers Animation is headed up by Sam Register still, and he's been at that for years with Warner Brothers, with WB
Animation. He was doing that in the 90s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not like, that can't be who's in charge of like the DC stuff. There's got to be someone like right below him that's in charge of the DC stuff.
I mean, according to this, Sam Register, President, Warner Brothers Animation, Cartoon Network Studios, and Hanna-Barbera Studios, Europe. So, that's just according to what I've seen here. But, you know, you are absolutely right. I believe I'm fairly certain James Tucker is one of the guys, if not the guy, that is in direct. Yeah. So
I don't know. I'm not even interested in that new Superman show, though.
The
animated one?
Yes. Uh-huh. I keep seeing that on Max, and I'm like, I don't care.
I feel like I should watch it, but then it's like, I don't want to watch it. Like, yeah. I'm so mad at you guys. I don't want to watch it. I don't care if it's good. I'll watch Harley Quinn, though. I will watch Harley Quinn all day. Well, I think, I don't know. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Okay, if we're all humming, I think that's a sign. Yeah.
Hey, Flaps. What are we gonna do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I've got it. Let's flap over the east side of the jungle. They've always got a bit of action, a bit of a swinging scene, all right?
Ah, come off it. Things are right and dead all over.
You mean you wish they were?
Very funny.
Okay. So what we're going to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Look, Flaps, first I say what we're going to do. Then you say, I don't know, what do you want to do? Then I say what we're going to do. You say what you want to do. What we're going to do, what you want. Let's do something.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Oh, blimey.
I got a good laugh out of somebody that is trying to sell their services on Fiverr.
Oh, yeah. You want to tell them about... Okay.
You go ahead and do that, Mike.
For context, this is what we normally know as a certain voice.
Yes.
Do your version.
Yes.
That's Beast Wars Megatron. This mook is on Fiverr trying to sell his voice acting air quote services as Beast Wars Megatron impression. And I'm just like, that sounds nothing like.
What a pleasant surprise.
Just for fun, my kids, because they know I can do the voice. They, mm-hmm. I've done it enough that it annoys them.
Yep.
I played this guy's clip on Fiverr. It says, you want to hear something funny? And then I played it, and they were like, who's he supposed to be? And my kids are blunt, so it's hilarious to me.
They're your kids, so.
Yeah. So I played this clip for him. They made that comment. I laughed. I said, it's supposed to be Beast Wars Megatron. And they're like, yeah, that doesn't, that's, they're like, that's like listening to Kingdom.
It's actually worse than Kingdom.
It actually was. At least the other guy had some gravel and gravitas going on. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I played the clip for him. They'd made the comment. I played a clip of me. What was funny about it was they thought it was David Kaye.
Yep.
I played a voice clip I did for the Dark Glass project I just recently talked to the guys for that. There is possibility they may actually animate it.
Yay.
I did it with it was before I had my Yeti, before I had a nice setup in my office. It was just one of those crappy $9 Logitech or Lab Tech microphones that plugs into the headphone or the microphone jack. And I'd recorded it and it was super grainy. And I was like, you know, I just want to hear what it sounds like re-recorded. Because it was one of those things I never got around to doing. And so I lip synced back to the video clip of, you know, hello, I'm Megatron, and this is what you have all anxiously been waiting for. Yes, you know, and so I played that role again, and I played the clip, and the kids were like, that's the guy. And I was like, no, I'm the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, the smirks on their face, they're like, no, it wasn't. So I played, like, the Beast Machine commercial for the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest is, like, sitting there, like, furrowing his brow. He's like trying to decipher if it's me or not. And he's just sitting there, and he's getting, like, this look. And I said, it's me. And he goes, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure. You know, and he's like, what is that from? And I says, from Beast Machines. And, you know, I did the like, even the echo that was on that clip, I think I naturally did that. Like, it was something I did with my throat or something. I don't really remember.
Right.
Just right conditions for the right recording. But yeah, so anyways, I played that clip. The guy, you know, sounded nothing like Megatron, but he's trying to sell his ability to say words, claiming to be Megatron for like $50 for like a small amount of dialogue. And yeah, so it was just surprising, I guess, how many times I see people attempt to do the voice. And to date, the only people that I've seen that can do the voice and pull it off besides myself is like General Techno.
Yep.
Who's another huge Transformers fan of David Kay's work. Like, he's a huge Lugnut fan as well. So, but yeah, we're the only two that I've heard that can do a convincing David Kay Megatron.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, that happened like earlier tonight, so it was something humorous that happened.
Yes, fresh on our minds, folks. Fresh on our minds. Before we get out of here, celebrating 10 years of Altered Geek and all that good stuff, we wanted to bring attention to something a good buddy of ours, Hank Davis, is doing. So Hank has his YouTube channel. It's called Free Podcast Tools. And he has just started his podcast gear newsletter, a free monthly newsletter. Sign up for through email, whatever. We'll have a link in the show notes. I have signed up for it, and it's a newsletter about podcasting tips that comes out once a month. And in this first one, he highlights the Mono, that Mono is launching a Monocaster C2 Neo. These are all podcasting, like, actual physical, you know, stuff besides just the headphones and microphone. And he's got other things highlighted in here. And if you're a podcaster and you would like a newsletter, check out Hank Davis's Free Podcast Tools gear newsletter.
He also launched that primarily because he's tired of watching, like, people kind of gatekeeping new podcasters.
Oh yeah.
Like, by like, oh, you have to have this mixer, you have to have this particular $400 microphone, you have to have,
oh god,
you know. And so he's like trying to break down like the gear and make it like user friendly and like simple, and taking a lot of the guesswork out of it to kind of just, I don't know, make it more approachable to people. Because I mean, if we can sit here and talk about our interests all evening and maybe entertain somebody or educate them to some degree, you know, somebody else should be able to do it too. So
absolutely. Mike, you got anything else you want to bring up before Steve closes it out?
Nope, not really.
So if anybody would like to send us any topic suggestions or questions for us to dabble on the next podcast, that would be awesome. Kind of give us something to geek out about and ramble on a little bit. Obviously you've heard what we've been geeking out on and some of our geeky obsessions this time. So tell us what yours are. What are some of your geeky obsessions or things that you're entertained with right now, or the way that your geekdom has evolved? Just let us know on the website on geekcastradio.com, or feedback@geekcastradio.com, or hit me up on the Twitter @AlteredGeek, or @X, I should say.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I still use the original tweet deck while I can, but once they take that and make me use the new one, I'm not using tweet deck anymore.
The new one sucks.
It does. It wiped out everything I had programmed, and I'm like, I'm not using this one.
Nope.
I opt out.
Yep.
So
I basically just use the Twitter website when I need to actually post on X. And Elon really gave it to us this time. X go give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own.
X go deliver to you. Knock knock, open up the door to spread. Yeah. In more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Yeah.